Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Petrified Podcast. I am your host, Damian Martinez, here with my co-host,
Eric Lover.
Thank y'all so much for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed last week's episode of the Lubbock Lights, our little, you know, local lore.
Yeah.
And of course, when we do like stuff like that, we just got to get into some weird stuff. We decided this week we're going to talk about time crimes or Los Corona Crímenes. Spanish film, came out in 2007. It was a mind warp of a movie. Just, it's so simple, yet it's very complex, the movie. This movie was just, I saw this movie when I was like 10. Yeah, my brother-in-law, Eric, shout out to Eric. He showed it to me. He's like, yeah, dude, this movie is like wild. It's like, you know, goes back in time. I mean, there's time travel. There's, you know, multiple people, like multiple persons of one person. I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool.
And this was way before, like, you know, the syndicated MCU. So,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, that's one good thing. Like, literally, it ties in a lot to that kind of premise and principle as far as a plot.
Yeah.
And it was ahead of its time. It was a great movie.
Yeah. It was really, really good. I like it a lot. Before we get into it, please follow us on Instagram. You know, share our podcast with everyone. And, you know, we hope you enjoy today's episode of Los Cronocrímenes, or Time Crimes in English. It was directed by Nacho Vigalondo. Yeah, who is in the movie. He is in this movie. Pretty much, first of all, a lot of people are like, oh, dude, like, when you mess with time travel, this is what the message this movie brings. No, it's don't be a perv, pretty much.
Keep your binoculars to yourself.
If you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's on Tubi. Again, dude, Tubi's got the good stuff, man. They just have bangers, man. Whether it be Tubi originals, obscure stuff, or just, like, international films.
Yeah.
I mean, this week we decided to do international films.
Yeah, this was never on Netflix. This was never on, like, it wasn't on Prime Video. Anything like that.
No.
It's strictly, you know, yeah. Tubi, man. Even, like, the sad part is even, like, subscription services like Shudder, it's not even on Shudder. So, like, literally, like, Tubi's just coming out, you know, with the rare vintage tracks.
It's good stuff, man. They got good stuff. So, yeah, check it out before you listen to this episode if you want to check it out. And if you don't care and you just want to hear what we think about this movie because you've already seen it,
doesn't matter, because this movie's all up to interpretation anyways.
Like, it really is. Yeah, yeah, it is. It's a short film. It's like 92 minutes long.
Yeah.
It's very, very short as like film-wise, like just movie-wise. But yeah, there's so much in it. It's very small cast, but that's all. And I think that's what's good about it is you have such a small cast. You don't have a lot of characters to keep up with. You can get invested in them. And what I like is yes, it's sci-fi. But it's not, like, overdone sci-fi. Like, the time machine isn't this, like, you know, lit up, you know, contraption that looks so futuristic. It literally looks like just like an industrial factory, pretty much.
It looks almost like a sensory deprivation chamber.
Yeah.
Is what it kind of looks like. And that's kind of, like, the premise of what it is. And so, yeah, it's not very complex. They kind of KISS'd it, you know, keep it simple.
Still. Yeah.
You know, they did. They, you know, yeah. They kept it real basic because the premise of the movie, like the whole theory behind it, obviously, is if you obviously watch the movie, you know, anything about, you know, physics, then, you know, it's the theory of Schrodinger's cat.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much where, you know, essentially that theory, just to dummy it down, it basically is a theory that says if you take like two particles and put them together, Schrodinger's cat, he essentially used cats in his experimentation. He put them in a box with radioactive material.
Yeah.
And over a period of time, he would open the box. Maybe the cat was dead. Maybe the cat wasn't. But the point was, when the cat was out of your eyesight, essentially, it was kind of like split from this universe and in its own pre-existing determined plane.
Yeah. It's like, you know, is it dead or alive?
Yeah.
Well, yes.
It's both. Yeah. It's all things.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, so that's where this movie comes in, like, with the deepness. But it didn't delve really super deep, which...
No, yeah.
I think that would have perplexed a lot of people. You know, it would have lost a lot of merit because you would have been like, it's a little too much to understand. They went way too in-depth with it. But this was, like, real simple.
Yeah, it was really simple, yeah. The thing that bugs me, though, is, like, how the loop started. So, you know, if you haven't seen it, just a little... like synopsis, I guess. This guy Hector, the main character, he's, you know, moved into a new house on some property, is sitting on his lawn chair looking out into pretty much just the grassy bush, and, you know, with his binoculars, I don't know what he was trying to do, like what he bird watching or something, but he sees a girl, like, undressing in the woods.
Well, he sees all kinds of weird stuff.
He sees the tower of the
it,
silo.
It, like, leads into it. He sees, like... Well, first he gets the phone call.
Oh, yeah, he gets the phone call.
So he gets a phone call, basically.
Weird, like...
And, like, it's, like, a weird, like... So he essentially star 69's the number.
Yeah.
And when he star 69, it's, like, this research lab. And they're like, you know, we're closed or whatever. And
yeah.
He's like, well... So he starts questioning his wife, Clara, and he's like, you know, how'd they get the number? Like, you know, like, it's a new number. And
yeah, nobody should have it.
Yeah, nobody should have it. But then the weird part is, like, he leaves the phone on. And I didn't know if there was, like, some deeper meaning to that, but he leaves the phone on. And they're, like, on the couch, like, getting kind of schmoozy with each other. And then he realizes, oh, crap, the phone's still on.
Yeah.
So then they retreat to the backyard, and he's kind of, like, I don't know, they have, like, this bet to where, like, if he does one thing, like, she has to go grocery shopping.
Oh, yeah. So she brought, like, he bought her a new table. She puts it together outside. Yeah. Not inside. She puts it together outside. And he tells her, like, it's not going to fit through the door. And she's like, it will. And he goes, well, you know, if it doesn't fit, well, then you have to go to the store and get dinner. And if it does, then I'll go to the store and get dinner, pretty much. So pretty much if that table would have fit, none of this would have happened.
Well, yeah. Well, then when you see it in that reality, in that split, it did not fit at that time. But later in the house, when he
goes, oh, it's back in the house. That's right.
It's in the house and it's upstairs.
Dude, I didn't even think. I've watched this movie 3 times already.
Yeah,
and
it's upstairs. Yeah, when Clara goes out the window, it's upstairs in that room. So yeah, in that reality.
Because Clara is home.
Yeah.
And he's not. His original self isn't.
Exactly.
Oh, dude, I did not think about that. I've been looking at fan theories, looking at people's theories on Reddit. That's not one that came up, or at least that I saw.
I didn't see anything about it either. I just noticed it when he went upstairs. I'm like, the table did fit upstairs, and they were basically, she was dispatched to the store because she had lost the bet that it would fit inside. But then later down the road, you see in the next reality, it literally fit into the house.
Oh,
so that's
dude.
Why he's gone. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Because, he travels back a third. He travels back, obviously, the first time where he gets chased by the killer from the woods. He goes in. Dude tells him to hide in there so the killer won't get him. Goes back in time. He starts to see when he goes back in time, then he gets, like, the whole, you know, you traveled this and that. Pretty much the rundown, like, hey, dude, you just traveled, like, an hour back in time. Like,
and he realizes this, like, you know, this suspicious killer that's in the woods who really isn't even a killer. Because when you see, like, the posters of this movie, when you see everything that leads up to this movie kind of presents itself. The character's kind of like Dark Man. You know, it's got that Dark Man feel. He's got gauze wrapped all around his face. And you're like, what the hell? And the guy's got, like, a knife, and you're like, holy shit.
These are the scissors.
This is going to be crazy. And then you just realize, like, no, this is just, like, yourself in different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And pretty much, like, he has to, like, kill himself.
Yeah.
To pretty much, like, keep going. Like, if he wants to continue to live. Dude, that.
Yeah, you have to take out your, you know, your alternates that are, like, still living because obviously. You want to continue your life to the utmost of its normality at that point. And by that time, your mind's blown because you're like, there's 3 of me and, like, you know, in one timeline.
Yeah.
So he's sitting out in the backyard. And, of course, Cleta, his wife, is dispatched to the grocery store. And so he grabs, you know, the binoculars. Because, yeah, once again, we don't know. Maybe he's a bird watcher. You know, maybe, I don't know, maybe he's just a perv.
Maybe he's just scouting the area. Yeah. It's a new land. Yeah, a new house,
absolutely. You know? And there's this big, weird kind of fence. So he's, you know, looking over it. And he sees this kind of tower. And then he kind of sees something hiding behind a tree. And then he sees, like, this girl. And this girl's, you know, she's got a shirt with, like, two cats. And it's basically a reference throwback to, you know, the theory that I was talking about, you know, Schrodinger's cat.
Yeah, it's like a, but with their tails, it creates the symbol of the company.
Yeah.
That the guy who's doing the time machine stuff.
Yeah, there's a red cat and a blue cat. And so, you know, of course, she's, you know, she's out in the middle of nowhere in the forest. So what better time to take off your shirt? So she takes off her shirt. And I mean, later you'll learn the correlation.
Yeah.
But, like, at this point, you're just like, why is she taking off her shirt? Like, all seductively. It's not like she's just like, oh, God, this shirt's hot.
Well, see, that's what I like about it is that you see her get naked in the woods. And he, you know, he wants to go perv out. So his wife's at the store going into town. So he's like, well, let me go see what's going on. So he goes into the woods to you know, stalk her, I guess, to get, you know, try to see what's going on. Because when he, like, after he sees her and his wife comes up, he's, like, all happy and smiles and stuff. And she's, like, kissing him goodbye to go to the store. And he's, like, all happy and cheesing. She's like, what's wrong with you? And he's like, nothing.
Something's going on.
But, so, yeah, he goes to find her. He finds her in the woods. She's naked against a rock, knocked out. And that's when, the killer stabs him in the arm with a knife.
Scissors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, with the scissors.
Yeah.
And he gets chased through the woods. Killer's, like, wrapped in gauze, has a trench coat on. He stumbles into this property that's holding this silo and stuff like that. And
yeah, he breaks a window and he breaks into this house.
Yeah.
And then, like, he finds he goes down into the basement, which is like a lab.
Yeah.
And so in this lab, he's basically looking around and looking all. There's, like, weird, like, skeletal x-rays of, like, an iguana or a chameleon or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you're looking around and you're like, okay. Well, then there's, like, a box with a walkie-talkie in it. So he starts getting transmission via the walkie-talkie. So he calls over the walkie-talkie, and then basically the moderator, Hoven, starts ushering him and telling him, like, hey, listen, there's a guy behind you. He's following you. He just came into the house. I'm watching the security cameras. You have to leave this basement. You have to go up into the house. I'll walk you step by step because I can see what this guy is doing via the security cameras.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to guide you up to where I am so that, you know, basically you'll be safe.
Yeah.
So long story short, obviously, he goes up this trail. He has, like, an illuminated trail that guides you right up to the research lab. And, you know, he goes up. He walks up to the lab. He's chased, like, by this point, like, the killer supposedly is, like, right on his heels.
Yeah.
And he goes into the lab, and then as Hector enters, Hoven starts breaking it down, and he's like, hey, listen, the killer's right behind you. You basically need, you know, you need to hide.
Yeah.
I'll hide you. And then at that moment, the alternate Hector's at the window. So this just pushes Hector one, because I think he's, like, starting to get a semblance of, like, knowledge, and he's like, hey, man. Like, this guy wants me to get into, like, this big, like, sensory deprivation chamber, and I'm not really sure I trust this. But when Hector number two comes to the window, all bets are off. I'm climbing in.
Yeah. Because he doesn't know it's Hector number two. Yeah,
he doesn't know it's Hector number two. It's this guy wrapped in pink gauze with a trench coat with scissors that just stabbed him, like, 20 minutes earlier.
Yeah.
So he gets into the chamber, and hold on. He's like, listen, you get in. I'll start closing the lid, and then right before it closes, I'll jump in with you, and we'll be safe, and the killer will be out here. So Hector's like, yeah, let's do it. So he hops in, it starts to go down, and then Hector has that oh goodness moment where he just realizes, damn it, I've been tricked. So it's closing, Hovan's not moving at all. He's standing in the corner. Lo and behold, it closes. Only to be shut for, they don't really give you a time frame of how long Hector was in there.
Well, it's just, like, again, it's like,
yeah, it's nighttime when this happens, and then it opens up supposedly right after the occurrence goes. And the first thing that should have caught Hector's attention is, I went in here at nighttime and you lifted it up, and I've only been gone for like, in my mind, like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's daylight outside.
Yeah.
So he comes out and
he explains to him, it's been an hour. That he just traveled back in time, you know, an hour. He sees himself at his house, and he pretty much sees the same thing that he did, you know, that morning.
But now he's from the alternate perspective that now he is on the opposite side. He's not living looking at the girl through the binoculars. He's acting out the whole scenario of him being the person in the woods.
Yeah.
That Hector in the yard of his house can see.
Yeah.
That's, you know, basically setting up this whole ruse of, you know, the young lady taking her shirt off, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's all the realities all twisting together.
Yeah, dude, it's such a, and, you know, you follow Hector too, I guess, you know, that's who he is. You follow his timeline pretty much. You see him become the killer. You see him from that side when he's the killer.
And all these scenarios you see.
Yeah.
Hector number one comes across a garbage dumpster that's been wrecked with a mountain bike in it.
Yeah.
And the mountain bike belonged to the young lady.
Yeah.
And then you act out that entire scenario. And in this new reality, there's a red van that is driving down the street and runs into that garbage.
Yeah. You
know, that garbage receptacle.
Which when he goes back in time again, because he realizes he goes to the house because he hears a scream when he's the bandaged guy. So he goes to the house to see what's wrong, and he ends up killing his wife on accident. You know, he's like chasing her, trying to explain to her pretty much like what's going on. And she runs up in, you know, on top of the house. He tries to chase her up there, and she ends up slipping and falling and dying. He sees that and he realizes like, oh my gosh, like my wife's dead. I have to correct this mistake. So he goes to the silo to try to go back in time, but the guy tries to stop him from doing that, pretty much telling him that, hey, this has already happened.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the twist of this movie is like you think like, okay, it's coming to an end, but then you realize he goes, there was already a Hector 3 who told me that you were going to do this exact same thing, come up back up here, try to right your wrong, but, you know, you're not going to. And he goes, okay. He goes, well, then I'm going to try to end the cycle in some way, shape, or form. But he still ends up going back in time. And pretty now he's like more smarter. He's more smart. He when he gets out of the tank, he tells Elhoven, he tells him, hey, this is what's going to happen. You know, so try to calm down Hector 1 and try to, you know, explain to him what's going on. And pretty much he's trying to correct everything. And then you see those scenarios play out. The truck hitting him from behind, stuff like that. It's just, yeah, you start to see everything start to play out from him going to the house and finding the girl. But the girl doesn't know who Hector is. She just knows who the killer is because she never saw his face.
Yeah.
She never saw Hector's face.
Because it was bandaged.
Yeah.
When he gets hit in the little car that he stole for the lab, it pushes him into a tree.
Yeah.
And he cuts his forehead open.
Yeah.
And so he wraps himself with the gauze that was...
And he realizes, like, yeah. Oh, this is...
And then he realizes where the gauze came from, because the gauze he took out of the lab when he got stabbed with the scissors the first time. Yeah. And then he uses the gauze from his right shoulder, essentially, to wrap his face in like, the next reality. And it's... Yeah, it... This movie's, like... It's deep, but it's not deep. That's what I like about it. It's got like a seriously like planetary plot line.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, it's Schrodinger's cat for dummies. Like,
yeah,
and
pretty
it's
much.
Great
yeah.
Because like, you know, if you've seen Back to the Future Part 2, you know, you can tie it into the fact that like when Biff goes back in time and steals the sports book and then comes and you know, then you know, the town becomes Biff Estates or whatever the hell it was. And, you know, it's pretty much that same principle. So,
yeah, he can't alter anything. And when he does try to alter it, that's just actually
making it worse,
like pretty much just going on with the time loop. And so finally, Hector 3, the final Hector, the main one you've been following throughout the whole movie, he takes the girl who was on the bike to the house to hide from the killer. but he knows like what he has to do. Like you can see in his face, like, you know, I have to do this. And you're right. The table was in the house. So was he in the right timeline or was he, you know, in a different timeline? Because yeah, you're right. The reason she goes to the store is because, she couldn't get the table into the house.
Yeah. She lost a bet. So she had to go.
But now the table's in the house and, you know, maybe.
But by that point, also, you could take into consideration that maybe due to the fact that Clara's dead because she died when she fell off the roof, perhaps in that timeline now, due to the fact that she's dead, it switched and moderated so that essentially she never got the table in the house because she's dead. She doesn't exist anyways. So she's not coming home because she's dead in the alternate timeline.
That's true.
Yeah, it's
so wild.
Yeah.
So
but that's why I said everybody can get something completely different out of this movie, which is great. Like it's well thought out.
It's a wild mind trip of a movie. And then Hector 3, you know, when he tells the girl to go, he puts his wife's red coat on her, cuts her hair, and it's like, okay, like he's looking for you, like run up to the roof, and because he knows like. You know, she's going to die. Like, instead of it being my wife, it's going to be...
You.
Yeah, you. And that's how I'm going to end the time loop. And so, sure enough, he goes downstairs, grabs his wife from the hiding spot that he put her in, and, yeah, the girl on the bike dies.
Apparently, fate allows substitutions. I'm just saying.
I guess that's the way, like, that's like... I guess it has to be, like, a drastic, like... impact, like it has to be something huge, like
maybe it's like life. The whole Reaper thing, like, you know, the Reaper only had to dispatch a soul, it didn't have to be a particular soul.
True, it could be like that. Yeah,
so he was able to, you know, substitute but her in.
He also knew that if he sees that he killed his wife, quote unquote, because she's dressed just like her, he's gonna go back to the silo, do exactly what he did, and there would be no more Hectors in that timeline.
Yeah.
So he pretty much essentially ends the timeline with, you know, because he knows. He's like, look, he's going to go back to the silo. He's going to get in the tank. And there's no more Hectors in this timeline anymore because they all went back in time.
Yeah.
And that loop ends. I mean, those Hectors will still be stuck in a loop. There will still be a Hector 1, 2, and 3. But where he's Hector 3 now is done with the time loop and is now going on.
Yeah, they won't have to basically all inhabit the same reality.
Yeah.
They'll be in their own reality, essentially.
Yeah.
And whatever measure that they were dealt out, you know.
Unfortunately, they have to endure this time loop, but, you know, they'll all come out at the end being, you know, back in their own reality again. But what's crazy is because, like, through the whole thing, it's at night when he goes into the time machine. The first time when the girl dies, that would be like close to the exact moment that he gets into the time machine.
Yeah.
And then it would end right there. So when he's like, you know, relaxing and he hears the thunder, it's like, oh, okay, now he technically, the amount of time that it took for him to kind of get to where he's at now would have happened no matter what, whether he got into the time machine or not.
Yeah.
So pretty much the same amount of time has happened. It's just now it's come to completion and now he's back. Like to him, it was probably like, dude, hours. But in reality, it was probably just like, you know,
6 hours. Yeah. And overnight, like maybe 8 hours. Sunrise to sunset.
Yeah.
You know.
So, yeah, that's what's crazy about the movie. I was like, oh, dude, I was like, now that he's like done with the loop, now he's back into his normal reality. And it would have been if he would never saw the girl, if he would have just been sitting in his lawn chair. And, you know, all the way until the thunder hit, because there's like a thunder that happens with each timeline before he gets into the time machine, was what I noticed.
Yeah.
Yeah, every time that he's about to get in, like the thunder clap.
Yeah.
So when the thunder happens the final time, he's like, oh, it's, you know, it'll be a while before it rains. And then she's like, okay. Like, she's just going with it. Like, his wife is like,
yeah.
Okay. Because he's like all beat up now.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like she, like the wife was kind of like just kind of chill at the fact. I mean, if I got a big gash wound, like in my shoulder, in my forehead,
yeah,
like my wife's gonna be like, "What the hell happened to you?" Like I just went to the store, like you know, like what'd you get into? I don't know, you know. And then think about it. I mean, this Hector that's, you know, currently with us. Shoot, man, he's got to live with that for the rest of his life. He knows, like, all that. So
yeah, and that never would have happened if the dude who Ed Hoven, if he would have just gone home, because the facility that he works at, they weren't going to allow him to see the time machine, pretty much, see it work. He didn't have access to it. So instead, what he did was he stayed over the weekend and turned on the time machine, and that's
started when, messing with things.
Yeah, and that's when Hector 1 came out.
It's a reanimator. It's a reanimator principle. Yeah. But go home when you're supposed to go home. Clock out.
But Hector, you know, he the final time when he goes to finally fix everything and end the loop, he goes, you know, that, you know, why did you open the machine? Why did you turn it on? Like, this would have never happened if you would have just gone home. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Go home.
Clock out.
Yeah. But the theories that some of the fans have is, like, you know, maybe the scientist was the one who pretty much, you know, started all of it. I mean, because technically he did start it because he turned on the machine.
Yeah.
But, like, luring Hector into the...
Yeah, it's almost like a creator, almost. Like,
yeah.
I won't say this has any, like, religious principles, but it's almost like he is, like, the orator of the show. He is, you know, the master of ceremonies. He's, you know, conducting this. No matter how secretive and, like, behind the scenes it really is, he has a huge part. In the, you know, it's very deceptive how he lures him in.
Yeah.
Because obviously he's walking him through it with the walkie-talkie. He's behind you.
Yeah. Da, 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 da. Yeah, and he's already interacted with one of the Hectors.
He is. Yeah. He already knows that Hector's there, so he already knows that, hey, listen, your doppelganger or whatever is behind you. Like, Hector, too, is behind you. Rather than saying, like, hey, listen, there's something I need to tell you. You need to come to XXX. Come up. I'll have the door open for you. Rather than that, he's very deceptive in how he lures him up.
Yeah.
You know, oh, the killer's outside. He's, oh, you're not safe down here. He would have totally been safe down there. He had the door barricaded.
Yeah.
With that big, like, pair of bolt cutters or whatever it was. He would have been completely safe. That man did not have superhuman strength.
Yeah. It was just Hector.
Yeah, it was just himself.
Dude, he was, like, what, running up the hill and, like, he was, like, done after, like, a couple of steps.
Well, this is not some, like, you know, freaking Jason Momoa level man. You know, this is not, like, someone who's, like, athletically trained.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, you know, he's got dad bod. He's hanging out, you know, looking at chickies with his little, like, binoculars out on the back 40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it comes to an end, and he just sits on the launcher at night with his wife, and that's how it ends. The cops come because his wife calls because she sees the killer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it ends right there, and I'm like, dude, there's so much that, you know.
There's so many different ways that you can read this movie.
Yeah, how did the loop start? Well, what's weird is who opened his freaking, his back, because he comes home, the beginning of the movie, he comes home from the store. And when he gets home, like, all the stuff falls out because, like, his back, you know, the freaking back is open. And, like, all the groceries are everywhere, and so he has to pick it up. I'm like, well, how did that happen? Like, did he just not close it right? Did, you know, somebody open it? It's a weird stuff, man. It's, you know, like, who started the time loop?
Well, there's so many questions that you can pose. Like, okay, so the house is already built.
Yeah.
So that lab obviously was built probably before that house, because that house is in a state of disrepair. That house looks like it's either being constructed or it was constructed and left alone.
Yeah. Or, like, it's being reconstructed or fixed up or stuff like that.
So what if before that they had a machine up there that was doing basically the same thing, and the previous owner was in a series of loops?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, every time you watch this movie, you get something different out of it. So it's great because it's not just one flavor. It's the Neapolitan of, you know, movies. So
yeah, man. It's a weird movie. It's, you know, it got me. But I saw it when I was like 10. And then rewatching it again, I'm like, dude, there's just so much in this. With so little that was in it, you know, there was a lot that you take from it.
Yeah.
Again, very small cast. You know, everything was done with practical effects. Again, that's why I liked the time machine, because, again, like you said, it just looks like a sensory deprivation chamber rather than, like, some, like, giant, like, The Fly-looking kind of contraption, you know? But yeah, dude. This movie was great. I'm glad we did it this week, because I was like, dude, this, you know.
I like the fact that we get to showcase something that, you know, isn't like a mainstream horror movie.
Yeah.
You know, something that is a little bit more slept on because, you know, movies as of late, you know, certain movies have definitely been a letdown as of late.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of good to revisit some of the old movies.
Absolutely.
Man. Yeah. Especially something international.
Yeah.
People can check out if they like international films, man. This one is one of them. That was another movie you wanted to do. I forgot what it was, but yeah, it was between that one and of course, Time Crimes.
Yeah, it was another international film that I was looking at.
But yeah, doing this, yeah, it was really good. Again, I watched it like 3 times because it's just such a good movie.
Tombad was the other movie that I was looking at.
Okay.
That was kind of like a toss up between this one and that one. And yeah, we just decided, we're like, hey, Time Crimes.
Yeah. Especially talking about Lubbock Lights last week.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, we'll stay a little bit in the sci-fi area.
Yeah, stay, you know, a little bit more of like, you know, psychological, you know.
Yeah, I like those. Like,
get the Lubbock Lights. Yeah. It's more off-putting and disturbing. It's not like, you know, just like this movie. There is no killer. There is no bad guy. It's you.
Yeah, it's him.
It's multiple variants of Hector.
Yeah, and that's what I like is that he's not a good guy at all. He's perving on a girl. He goes to stalk her. But then he has these redeeming qualities towards the end of the film where you do kind of like, you kind of forget that he was being a perv, that he was going to go kind of stalk this girl and see what she was doing.
Well, and then the fact that, okay, what I liked about it was, okay, so Hector, the original, was perving. He was skeeving. He was out there with his little binoculars and he was looking at her.
Yeah.
But then when Hector 2 comes in contact with her, Hector 2 will not look at her naked body. Hector turns his face. He tells her, because he knows that the other Hector is a perv. So he tells the girl to take her shirt off, but do it slowly.
Yeah.
But Hector never looks. And then even when he's like when he lays her down and takes her pants off and everything and removes her underwear and all that, because she's at this point where she's like basically fighting for her life.
Yeah.
And she's like, she's going to do anything she can to survive. So she's like, do you want me to take my underwear off? And he's like, no. Like, he's like fighting her on it. No,
yeah.
don't do that. He doesn't want to see that.
No, he's just trying to recreate the scenario.
But Hector 1, from the way that, you know, obviously he's sitting there with them binoculars, Hector 1's kind of giving the feeling that, like, Hector 1 probably would have been down for that.
Yeah.
But Hector 2 is like, no, I don't want to do that.
I just want to go back to my original.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to go back home pretty much. Yeah.
So...
yeah, that's one thing, and you can see you know him, kind of grow and get knowledge from everything because everything he does, he's like, okay, well this is gonna happen now, so I need to do this but the mind fuck you just gave me the table being in the house, I'm like, oh dude, that's right, because the table didn't fit through the door, so how she got it in,
and on top of that, it's not just in the door, it's like literally upstairs.
Yeah.
So she went, she got it up the stairs and into that room where the construction was being done.
Yeah.
Where it just so happens that that's where they climb out the window, and that's where, whether it be, you know, the young lady or Clara dies.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like I said, it's just one of those movies that you can watch. You can watch it twice. You can watch it 3 times. You're going to get something new from it every time.
Yeah.
Which is not something I can say with a lot of, you know, even with, like, great, amazing movies that you and I have reviewed, it's not something you can say with probably 2/3 of the movies that we watch.
Yeah.
You're not going to get something new out of it every time that you watch it.
Yeah.
This one, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And what helps it is, like, the use of just basic practical effects, you know? You know, it's not, like, overly sci-fi to where it looks futuristic. It's just literally a dude gets stuck in a time loop. Very grounded. There's no special effects, like huge like CGI special effects. It's just, you know, that's what, and I think that's why you can kind of like get immersed into it. Like, oh, dude, this dude is like,
it's got that every guy aesthetic to me. Like,
it's the
everyone aesthetic. Like, this could be any woman,
yeah, it can happen to anyone, yeah.
This can happen to you. Like, you could be outside, you know, perving on somebody with your your binoculars. Lo and behold. And what did we learn from this? Don't perv with binoculars.
Yeah, don't be a pervert. That's the message I got.
Yeah.
don't be a pervert and you'll be okay. You won't get stuck in a time loop.
Yeah.
Because literally, if he wasn't looking at that girl, if he didn't go pursue.
Okay, but his curiosity, here's the other thing. His curiosity was piqued because they don't go right in, like, you know, they don't jump directly into the fact that she's out there. You can see like the pink bandage from the side of the tree. It's one of the first things he sees. Then he sees the tower. So I am that curious dude. Like if I look somewhere and I see something, like here, water towers. Like I'll see a water tower that I haven't seen before. I'm like, man, what's over there at that water tower? Yeah. And I'll drive around until I find that. Now I'm just curious like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, he saw things, and it was kind of like the one thing that stuck with him, the one part that maybe El Jovan used to lure him in was the fact that, yeah, he did have that kind of pervy side. So he was like, okay, you're not interested in the fact that there's a lit up tower over here. You're not interested in the fact that there's like a pink bandage and some like stuff laying around here. But hey, maybe you'll, you know, pick up this breadcrumb. Here's, you know, a half naked young woman.
Yeah.
And, you know, bam, Hector one was for it. But someone else might have been like, what's that over there? Like, why is there garbage? Because the second Hector walks over there and he's like, oh, hey, there's a dirty old trench coat that came out of a trash bin. I'm for that. Let me put this on.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I think he was kind of putting the puzzle together. He's like, oh, dude, it's me. So yeah. I might as well just kind of finish this loop and see where it takes me. I think that's what he was on. He was on the journey. He was like trying to figure out how to complete the loop and try to fix his situation, which he does. But unfortunately, somebody has to die because of it. Or the girl could have started it all.
Could have?
No, because she was like really like,
dude, where was she coming on that bicycle out in the middle of nowhere?
Well, she like again, she's wearing that shirt with the cats on it, and their tails connecting together makes the symbol of where the facility is.
Yeah.
Because when he pulls the when he leaves in the truck or in the car
that he steals from the facility.
Yeah, because he wasn't gonna stay there.
Yeah.
When he tries to open the gate.
The gate clicker has that same symbol.
Yeah, it has the same symbol.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, was she connected in some way, shape, or form?
Probably.
You know.
Yeah.
Does she, and she might be in one of the pictures, too, that's on, there's like a wall where he gets the keys from, and they have like the pictures of all the scientists, and I think if you look pretty hard, she might be in the picture.
She might be.
Who knows, man.
Time to watch it the third time. Third time for me, fourth time for you.
Fourth time for me. Because, yeah, dude, I love this movie. Again, shout out to my brother-in-law for showing me this movie when I was like 10 years old.
Messing with your head.
Messing with my head. Yeah, it's just a, you know, it's like one of those, God, just movies that kind of just pulls you. It's kind of like, oh my gosh, what's that other movie where those two guys, they have that machine in the storage unit, you know? God, I just freaking looked at the trailer for it because I wanted to watch it again.
Hot Tub Time Machine.
No, not Hot Tub Time Machine. Yeah, that one actually. That's the one that, yeah. But anyways, like, you know, those movies that where they don't use a lot of huge, like, overdone sci-fi stuff that are in pretty much all sci-fi movies about time travel or, you know.
Yeah, well, it's like From Beyond. From Beyond's a great movie, don't get me wrong. I love From Beyond. But yeah. The doctor being, you know, like kind of like, oh, well, also like the fly that you brought up earlier.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a half human spliced with some form of, you know, space mutant or something. And they become, you know, some monstrous, hideous, like eight armed.
Yeah.
You know, covered in, you know.
Yeah. Those jelly. Movies are good. Don't get me wrong. But like just ones where, like you said, it can happen to anyone. Like it feels like it could happen to anyone. Those movies are great. Primer was the movie. Yeah, dude, I liked it a lot. I can't wait to. Oh yeah, and there was supposed to be a U.S. version of this movie.
Yeah,
with Tom Cruise.
I don't know how that would have turned out.
I mean, he, you know, he's got good movies. I don't think this one would have fit very well.
Well, you know, they would have completely like adapted the story. They would have completely like, destroyed the story, broke it down, made it something like way more intricate.
Yeah, more Mission Impossible.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. He would have been dangling from the ceiling, like messing with Clara.
Clara, come back. Yeah. Yeah, I think the only reason it works with, you know, this, obviously the original version, is because of how Hector looks. He's just an average guy. Probably just came home from work, hit the store up, got his wife a table, and then brought it home. Like, he's just an average dude.
He brought everything home. The fertilizer.
Oh, thing. Yeah.
That dude, And then he, like, all he, okay, he's the every guy, because he's like, dude, all I want's a nap.
Yeah.
So she's like, okay, go ahead and go upstairs and take a nap. He's like, score, nap time.
Hey, dude, she was really like, hey, yeah, go upstairs, take a nap. Oh, I'll go get dinner. I'm like, all right, okay.
Yeah, you're doing all this gardening. I've been gone all day. Yeah.
About to kill you in about an hour.
Absolutely. And you still want to get busy with me in the living room while I'm talking on the phone? Yeah, dude.
That's right, yeah.
He had it made on all angles. Hector had this game on lock. Yeah.
But I think he needed to be appreciative. Maybe that's what the time loop taught him, you know, that he needed to appreciate
it. Yeah, probably stop being a scumbag.
Stop purring on young ladies in the woods.
Yeah.
It's a good movie, man. Yeah, go check it out on Tubi. It's on Tubi again. Go check it out. Tubi's got the bangers right now so far. But thank y'all so much for listening, guys. We appreciate it. Share us with everyone and anyone. Rate us where you can, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Leave a review. Tell us what you think about us, what you like, what you hate.
Give us your theory on what exactly happened in this film.
Dude, I'm telling you, there's so many. I saw so many on Reddit. I just said the ones that like I read, of course, the ones I think. But yeah, there's just so many like theories. Like,
yeah, there's some lore on this movie, definitely. Yeah. So,
but again, I never saw the one about the table being inside. That's like, dude, you're right. The table was inside finally.
Yeah. Let's go down the rabbit hole.
Now you could say like, oh, maybe she got it in, you know, while he was gone. But again, like the reason she goes to the store.
Because she lost the bet.
Yeah, it's because she lost the bet.
Well, she wasn't even reserved to get it inside, remember? She's like, well, if it doesn't fit inside, then I'll leave it outside.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it was something like pressing to where she's like, oh my gosh, it's such a nice table. I want it inside. No. She was like, well, if it doesn't fit inside, we'll keep it outside.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're settling into their new home and we can leave it outside.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I didn't think about that, man. All right. I'm going to be thinking about that from now.
There you go.
Maybe, you know, somebody who's seen it. You know, listening to this, like, oh my gosh, you're right. The freaking table's inside now. Yeah, if you watch the movie, you'll see that she doesn't care if the table's inside or outside. She can't get it through the door. She leaves it outside. And then later on in the movie, you see that the table is now inside.
Inside.
Dad, I didn't think about that. You just time crimed my mind.
This is Eric 2 out.
But yeah, thank y'all so much, guys, for listening. We will see y'all
next week.